The White House has issued 6 recommendations for protecting privacy in the era of big data. It's the result of a 90-day review of big data policies and practices. One of the top recommendations was to pass a national data breach bill, similar to the cybersecurity bill the administration had proposed back in 2011. For industry's view of these new recommendations, we turn to Mike Hedinger. He's Vice President for Public Sector at Tech America. Mike, good morning.
Good morning, Emily and Tom. Thanks so much for having me on.
So, Mike, I just want to ask you to begin with, how do you frame the issues around big data, and is it similar to the way the administration has set it up in this report?
I think so. We, Tech America and other organizations who are involved in technology have really been tracking the big data issue as it's evolved over over the last few years. And I don't know that we're certainly not in lockstep with the things that the White House has said, but we all kind of look at big data the same way. And data itself is agnostic, and really the power of data comes from the analytics and the things that you can do as a result of the analytics, and that's really where the use of data gets exciting and starts to get people fired up, and that of course brings in some of the other issues that go along with it, privacy concerns and others, and so we've tried to balance those issues, sort of the power of the data versus the need to make sure that as we go forward with these new technologies that we're able to protect individuals' privacy and corporate data and that sort of thing.
The gearheads, point out that big data is not simply lots of data in a database, but is exponentially more powerful potentially than just large data sets because of the disparate sources of the data and also the size of the resulting amount of data. But it's different from just a single large database. It's something geometrically more. Do you think that the administration understands this, is reflected in that report?
I do. I think, as we say, obviously they've invested a good deal of money, federal money, into understanding big data. Industry's done a lot of work around big data. If and I've participated in conferences at NIST and other places where they get into the gearhead, the nitty-gritty part of big data. I think the administration, working with industry, understands what we're talking about here. And as a result, we're starting to get down into some issues that we really need to discuss as we try to go forward. But you're absolutely right, Tom. It's much bigger than a data center or data set or anything like that. You're talking about data that's collected, literally minute by minute, second by second, around the country as we do things, as you walk down the street with your smartphone, as you, a sensor on a water tower somewhere or whatever it may be. We're collecting data, all over the place that honestly, 10 years ago or so, we never would have even talked about or thought about.
And one of the things that the committee, the task force, puts forth is the idea of the Consumer's Privacy Bill of Rights. From industry standpoint, what sort of things should that include? I mean, first of all, do you like the idea even? And what sort of things should that include? What sort of things should it not include?
That's one of the more controversial, I think, pieces that were proposed. Things like ECPA reform and a national data breach law, as you mentioned in the intro. Those are things that I think industries come together around a little bit more. I'm not exactly sure what I would include in that type of proposal, but it's certainly something we're willing to work with the administration on.
I mean, when I think about data breach legislation, I kind of think about fires. I mean, companies have, and through their insurance mechanisms, there are a lot of incentives and also local codes to prevent fires. And yet fires break out sometimes and nobody considers them a criminal or illegal activity. It's just, something bad happened. Isn't data breach something like that also?
That's an interesting way to describe it. It's part of the issue is making sure that when you're looking at data breach, you're looking at critical systems, and non-critical systems, separating those two issues out, because data breaches happen on a regular basis with companies. Some are obviously more high profile and have a greater potential for harm than others, and those are the ones that make the news, and those are the ones that we hear about and focus on. But at the end of the day, we know that they happen. You want to have, you know, best practices, voluntary standards. You want companies to be incentivized to do everything they can to shore up their cybersecurity. And those are things that we have pushed as we've looked at the legislation and other proposals that have floated around.
And you said that the idea of passing national data breach legislation is something that your member groups would support.
Yeah. Right now we have obviously a very patchwork framework throughout the states.
Each state has its own.
Yeah, each has its own. Essentially, I'm not sure that all states have their own, but some number approaching 50 have their own data breach laws. Probably fairly consistent if you were to go through all the ones that exist. But then there are things in there that are different slightly here and there, and as a result, the cost of compliance goes up. And so something that could standardize that type of language and the intent there, I think our members have supported, something that we've pushed for on Capitol Hill and otherwise, and we'll continue to do so. So we were encouraged by that part of the recommendation in the report.
But do you feel that maybe the dangers are being a little bit overemphasized, since the fact is very few companies actually have much in the way of a strategy toward big data at this point? There's more talk, I think, than action at this point.
There's a lot of talk, obviously, and I think that you were starting to see more action. If you were to sit down with some of the companies that we work with that do business in the public sector, as well as a lot of the companies, obviously, that work in the commercial sector as well. I mean, there's a lot of activity and a lot of work going on around big data, how you use it, what it can do to help you. And, I've always focused on, part of it's my government management background, but I've always focused on, how can you leverage data to make government more efficient and effective? How can you leverage data to root out, waste and fraud? Those sorts of things. We're seeing a lot of application of big data technologies and analytics on the state and local side, police departments and other local agencies are using data to root out crime and that sort of thing. And so we're certainly seeing it applied more now than we have previously. And as we go forward, like with any technological development, we'll see more of that.
We're speaking with Mike Hettinger. He's Senior Vice President for the Public Sector at Tech America. Overall, Mike, do the tech firms want more guidance from the federal government when it comes to data and privacy? A lot of these recommendations deal with how to extend privacy to non-Americans, to foreigners, or to make sure that technical experts don't perhaps unintentionally discriminate in their big data analysis. Do firms want more input, more guidance from the government?
There's a fine line between guidance and being overly prescriptive. And I think, as we look forward, additional guidance, additional information, additional focus on what we're trying to accomplish would be helpful. But getting too prescriptive, especially when you get into dictating specific types of technology and that sort of thing, that's where our members tend to get a little uneasy as we look at these issues. So, we'll continue to work to make sure that, we're going in the right direction. As it relates to the broader issue that was raised in the report and raised as some of the interviews were conducted to talk about the report of can big data be used to discriminate and that sort of thing. I mean, we believe that in positive uses of data to improve people's lives and not the reverse, and that's a point that we made in the statement that we issued on the day that the report came out, and something we continue to believe. And if there are issues where data is being used in a negative way, we want to make sure we're working to eliminate that as well.
It's a little curious that the whole NSA question was in large part the impetus behind this 90-day review. Did it look a little funny that it all came out basically talking to industry and very little about the original genesis of the report?
It is interesting, and that's something that we've thought quite a bit about. you know, like you said, it was sort of, that's why we went there, right? And then at the end of the day, there wasn't much talk about that in the report. I was not, when we commented at different stages in the report, had opportunities to, you know, give our input. I was not involved, obviously, in the nitty gritty of it. So I do find it, interesting that was not, an area that was highlighted or addressed.
But it seems like perhaps this is something that, let's say, most inside the Beltway could more easily stomach than the controversial ideas surrounding the NSA.
What? No, that's, I'm sure that's right. I mean, these are issues, you know, these are positive issues, you know, technological evolution, big data, and the things that we're able to do now, you know, versus the things that we were able to do even 5 or 10 years ago. These are all positive developments. And, you know, we haven't talked about ECPA. You know, ECPA needs to be updated and reformed to reflect.
What's that?
ECPA needs to be updated and reformed to, to keep pace with technology and the way technology is developed. I mean, ECPA was passed in 1986.
You mean the Electronic Communications Privacy Act?
I do. I'm sorry.
Okay.
That needs to be updated and reformed. It was passed in 1986. Think about our electronic communications in 1986. You know, dramatically different than what we do today. So those are other areas where, you know, we want to highlight the fact that I think the report was on target.
Yeah, so that updating, of course, all of the companies, I mean, when the ECPA was passed, you had the phone companies, pretty much. That was it.
That's right. That's absolutely right.
Maybe there was, you know, more than one by then because it would have been deregulated. But you didn't have all of the electronic communications companies, you know, that exist now. And so is there, within the industry, is there a little bit of a tension between the newcomers and the traditional carrier-type companies? About,
you know,
what should be done?
Yeah, I mean, that's not really an area that I focused on, so I'm not sure I could effectively answer that, Tom.
But how would your member companies like the law to be changed?
Well, again, it's sort of just a general update of ECPA to make sure that it reflects the environment today, which is an environment in which a vast majority of our communications are electronic, it was really essentially designed for a long-gone era where we were had minimal electronic communications and a lot of other, things like paper-based communications, things like that. So it's really a changed environment, and technology is moving so quickly that, you need to put the right principles in place that allow the regulation to keep pace with the technology. And that's something that we see not just in privacy and areas like that, but really across the spectrum of technology.
And what's your sense of what's going to happen next with this report? Do you get the feeling that the administration is going to start really pushing some of these changes, or is this one that's kind of, all right, it's out, now on to the next thing?
Well, I mean, a lot of this stuff has been hanging around in Congress for a number of years. So we'll have to wait and see, you know, whether they're able to begin to move some of this legislation because of the report. It's a tight year in Congress with, obviously, it's an election year. Congress is working very hard to get sort of between now and the August recess. And then they've already got a lame duck session planned for after the election. So we'll have to see what their schedule looks like going forward and what legislation, you know, rises to the top of what Congress wants to address this year.
Mike Hettinger is the Senior Vice President for Public Sector at Tech America. As always, thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you all for having me on.